James. So what we will do is we'll do a quick recap from chapters 1 through 4, and then we will go into the chapter 5, the last chapter of our study. So what we talked about, the theme in James, if you all remember, it is about believers meeting the trials and temptations in this life, but with faith and wisdom, ultimately resulting in the joy of the Lord. Now, the chapter begins with the promise, as we talked about. It talks about the eternal benefit of meeting the trials and temptations with faith and wisdom. And then the chapter that we're going to talk about today, the last verse literally ends with that reinforced promise. It is the intercession of each believers on behalf of one another. Chapter 1, we also talked about this little ladder, right? The foundation being faith. And then as trials come in your life, you build upon that faith. And with trials, what one thing that you learn and one thing that we get to experience is patience. And with patience comes maturity, eventually being ready for that crown of life. So in chapter 1, we talk very clearly about believers acting in accordance to our faith. We talked about how Jesus referenced that a tree is known by its fruits. So as you and I, as believers in this world, the whole book of James is addressing that one fact. If you profess and if you confess that you are a child of God, and if you confess that faith, then the question is, when people around you look at you, are you known by that fruit? Does your faith reflect through your life? Chapters 2 and 3, we talked about partiality and favoritism that can happen. We talked about faith in action. And then most importantly, we ended with chapter 3, talking about how you and I ought to guard our speech, guard our conduct. When we as Christians, we live in this world, it becomes absolutely critical that we are careful to maintain the good works, to maintain that faith that we have. And amidst all that, we talk very specifically about this one small body part, the tongue. How it must be tamed by the Spirit of God. Or otherwise, we learned how it could easily be controlled by Satan. And the way we manage our lives is by having that heavenly wisdom. How we can see life through God's eyes. And how we ought to live according to His Word. And chapter 4, that was last week, what we talked about was surrendering our lives to God, sanctifying our lives. The chapter talked about submitting to God, and once you submit to God, you're able to resist the devil. And that way, we can draw nigh unto God. And once you and I as Christians, we have this faith in our lives. We believe our Lord Jesus Christ and we start to live according to the faith that we profess. Then it becomes important that we cleanse our hands and we purify our hearts. It is just not enough that we say we became a Christian and go about living our own old lives. It's very important that we clean up ourselves. We have a change that happens. The change that happened on the inside now should also reflect on the outside. We are saying goodbye to that old self. Chapter 4, we also talked about the different dangers that we could face. The dangers of having discord in the church. How the worldliness could affect our lives. Now, if you choose to be a friend of this world, the Bible clearly says, you are an enemy of God. And that's what we talked about, worldliness. How you and I as Christians ought to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and not this world. And then we specifically talked about why it is important that we do not slander one another. how speaking of someone else, if it is not for their edification, and if it is not going to be of benefit, we should not speak it out. That is slander. And then we talked about planning for the future. The world teaches us to be planning ahead. The world teaches us how it is important that we should always have a clear-cut plan for our future. Starting from school, that's what you're taught. You're taught that you should know what you need to do going into school, into college. You should know what your career path is. And then once you get a job, you should know exactly what's the path you need to take. And then you need to know who you're going to marry. And then you need to know who the family you're going to raise. You got to know the number of kids you will have. You got to know the jobs that you will keep, the house that you buy. Like, the world teaches us to plan. But what the scripture says is, planning without God is dangerous. You and I do not control our future. God does. And therefore, it's absolutely important that we have Him in that decision-making process. And as we continue our lives, the next danger that we have is boasting in arrogance. When God gives you certain blessings in life, when God gives you certain positions in life, are you boastful? Are you arrogant about it? Having said that, we come into chapter 5, the last chapter we have. We got about 30 minutes. We'll go through the same methodology that we have been using, right? So we will do a very high-level overview of chapter 5, and then we'll spend about 5 to 10 minutes having a little bit of a discussion. We'll have 3 questions, and each of you will discuss that. So it's going to be a little bit of an interactive session for those that have not been with us the last couple of weeks. Chapter 5, the key verse that I selected here is chapter 5 and verse 11. If one of the brothers could read it out loud. James chapter 5 and verse 11. Amen. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. That's going to be that overall theme that we want to talk about. But again, knowing James, knowing how he lays out this chapter, he's very straightforward. He doesn't beat around the bush at all. And he is going to talk to us very directly what he expects from a practical aspect. So James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, if one of the brothers can read that out loud, 1 through 6. Amen. Chapter 1, James starts the conversation out of the blue by talking about the rich and the poor. He talks about how the rich can oppress the poor. And all of a sudden here, towards the end of his epistle, James is going back to the rich. Being rich is not the problem. Pursuit of riches is the problem. Again, let me say that again. Being rich is not the problem. The pursuit of riches is the problem. Because the Word of God says, where your heart is, right? Where is your heart? Are you going through this world in that pursuit of riches? How many of you have children over here? How many of you have asked your child what they want to be in life. Let me rephrase that question. How many of you have asked the question to your child, when you grow up, what do you want to be? And why do you choose that career or that profession? What do you think their answer is? If you had that question ever asked, share it with us today. Like, if anyone has asked that question to your child, tell me what your child told about why they're picking a career or a profession. Open. Money. What's that? Want to become a princess. Again, the concept, right? Status. Want to help others. Competition. Now, did you tell your child that all these answers? Did you teach that to them? Did you tell them that the goal in life is to be rich? Did you tell them the goal in life is to have a high status in life? Did you tell your child it is important to be a princess? Honest answers, I like it. Yes, that's the point. We didn't teach that to them by our words. We didn't spell it out for them, but they saw us do it. Most of you sitting over here have come from a different country. You are immigrants here, perhaps first generation, perhaps second generation. Why did you come to this country? What was the purpose of it? Opportunities, better life. But what did our children see? What is our children seeing when we came for better opportunity, better life? But what did our children see? What are they seeing today? They are seeing us pursuing the word. They're seeing us pursue the riches. They're seeing you and I pursue the status in society. So yes, to Uncle's point there, we taught them that. Now James is here warning the same thing. He is warning us, stop pursuing the riches. He's warning us that is the one thing you and I should not be doing. There's nothing wrong in being rich. If God has blessed you with more money, God bless you. Now the question is, what do you do with the riches? If God has blessed you with the riches of this world, what are you doing with that blessing? If you see a brother or a sister in need and you have $1,000 sitting in your bank account, it is saved up for the future. If you have $10,000 sitting up in your savings account for your child's future education, and there's a brother or a sister in need, my challenge to you is, have you considered that need above yours? Or is that saving for the future more important? When I stand here and say that, I ask that question to myself every day. Why did God give me these resources? When a need comes before you, are you and I willing to take that stance? The book of James is clearly addressing this with the believers at that time. He is asking you and I to guard our hearts so that we don't fall prey to that. He asks us to guard our speech. He asks us to guard our conduct. Now he's asking us to guard our hearts. Believers, this is the challenge that we have. As we continue to live in this world, God has blessed the Christians today with abundance. I don't think there's anyone that will disagree with that. But the question is, what are you doing about those riches? What are you doing with those blessings? Again, the Word of God goes back to saying, be ye doers of the Word. If God is saying, this is how you should be, if God is saying, this is how you should manage your wealth, if this is how you should look at your material blessings, and you don't follow it, then we are sinning. It is as simple as that. So you and I sitting here with our riches, and again, riches is perspective. I shared this example yesterday. I was having a conversation with one of my boys, and we were looking through some old pictures from 15 years ago, and I used the word, those were the days when we didn't have much. We could say, like, the way we, you know, ate, the way we acted, the way we, you know, what car we drove or what house we lived, you could tell the difference. But I use those words. My son immediately turns around and looks at me and says, he asked me the question, so Dad, are you saying you're rich? So then I asked him the question. I didn't give answers. I give questions back. My question to him was, how many rooms do you and I need to live? His answer was, we could live in one room. I said, how many do we have now? He said, five. I said, we are five times rich. It's perspective. It's always about perspective. Your child is always watching you. My child is always watching me. It doesn't matter what we do, what they look for is what the world does. And the only way we can counteract that is through our lives, our actions, the way we talk, the way we act. If you extend a hand of support to another believer or to another person that is in need, my challenge to you is, I know it is best not to let everybody know about it, but your child should know. You have to teach your child the importance of giving, the importance of looking out for the needs of others. That's the challenge I have. Yes, your right hand should not know what the left hand does. I completely agree with that. But I'm telling you, the world is so strong out there today. They will never learn it if you don't sit down with them and teach that to them. The reason I say it, I grew up in a family where I knew my parents would give, but I didn't know that till I was way past in my college life. So my question is, do you help those that are in need? And if you do, does your children see that? Does your children understand the importance of it? Once they're in their teens, once they're in their colleges, once they're in their workplaces, you and I will have no control over it. We cannot teach that to them at that time. It's too late. All they would remember is status is important. Riches is important. And if you're not doers of the word, what scripture says is your faith will not be sufficient to overcome that temptation towards riches. You've got to be constantly practicing it. That's the only way we can get over it. Now reading verses 7 through 12, if one of the brothers can read that portion out loud. So James is still addressing the brethren that are going through different sufferings. The believers at that time, they were going through different sufferings. And James is here telling them to be patient, to have the perseverance. James reminds in verses 7, the first 2-3 verses, you see, he reminds us over and over, I think 3 times, about the coming of the Lord. So what James is reminding toward the end of the chapter is, brethren, look forward to that day when he's going to come back. And that day is not far away. He is reminding again and again that the coming of the Lord is near. And as he's telling that, it is that hope, it is that encouragement to each one of us to say, this trouble on this earth, this pain that you and I are going through is for a short period of time. What he is reminding again and again to the believers is, brethren, be patient. This suffering will end. And then he uses the example of the farmer. What does a farmer do? When a farmer, it's springtime, when it's ready for harvest, you think he just planted stuff the day before or a couple of days before? What does the farmer do? He plows the land, preps the land. Then, seeds, right? Sowing the seed. So now, it's got the seed that needs to grow, right? And then what happens? Waters it. And then what happens? Fertilizes it. Then what happens? You wait patiently. It doesn't happen overnight. And here, James is reminding the same way. Say, just as the farmer is patient, that day will come. And what is that day? That is the day when the Lord comes back to receive you and me into his presence. And for those of you that have not received the Lord as your personal Savior, that is the one thing you got to be worried about. That day is coming. It's very soon. It's very close. And when that day comes and he is there to receive you, the question is, the password to his presence is, are you saved? Did you trust? Did you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And James is over and over repeating, that day is coming. It is right there. Are you careful? Are you watching? Are you patient? James is here reminding through the life of Job that yes, you will have trials and temptation in your life. If you think about the life of Job, the entire book of James is a practical way to say, here's how you deal with trials and temptations. Have patience, because that builds maturity. And if you think about the life of Job that is mentioned over here, you learn and you see how patient Job was, how much perseverance he had. I don't know of any other person in the entire scripture that went through as much trouble and suffering like Job did. But the Lord had a plan. That's what James is saying. The end intended by the Lord. That's what it says. What was that end that he intended? He intended that everything is going to be well. His blessings are going to be greater. That his faith is going to be stronger. That was the end intended by the Lord. And then he says, the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. How beautiful it is. When James is here teaching about the trials and temptation and how you and I with our faith need to carry on, just like the farmer, wait patiently because this suffering that you and I may be going through in this life will come to an end. And when it comes to an end, we can be joyful in his presence. But through that time of patience, that time of perseverance, what he is also reminding us is, the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. That's what we have. Grace that is sufficient for you and I. Grace that is sufficient. More than sufficient. And that's what these examples teach us. And then, going on to the next few verses, I'm not going to read it out for lack of time. James is now focusing on the praying piece of it. And as he's praying, he's talking about praying for yourself the elders praying over a sick person and then believers praying for one another. I'm not going to go into too much details over here, but we'll quickly glance over it. So the obligation that James is saying is, yes, you will have troubles in your life. Yes, you will have trials and temptations. Yes, you will have difficulties. And you wait patiently. Have patience. Have perseverance. But you have to pray for yourself. And then he says, when you have trouble, when you have difficulties, perhaps you're in your bed that you can't get out of there, have the elders come and pray over you. And then as believers, the responsibility that we have for one another, praying for one another. And that's something that James is reminding. As we go through this life, several of us will have trials and temptations. We will have different types of situations that we go through. Some of us may be sitting here with a smiley face, but we have difficulties that we are hiding in a dark place, in a very quiet place, in a corner. And what the scripture is teaching us is, pray for one another. And we'll go into a little more details about what that means. This is that piece that is most important. The chapter is ending now with that reinforced promise. You start your life in the book of James with trials and temptations that you and I will face. How that faith is going to be tested. And towards the end, the promise is fulfilled by saying that, yes, if one of you sins, if one among you wanders away from the fold of God, you and I have another obligation. And this is how James ends this chapter. He ends the book by saying, intercede for one another. So what does that mean when he says, intercede for one another? What does it mean when he says, you have to pray for one another? What does it mean when he says, you have to confess your sins to one another? In simple terms, that exists among us. It's not, it could happen. It's not that it may happen. It says, back in the days of James, it has happened. In our church, in our assembly, that way, that may happen. That has happened. And when one of us is wandering away from the fold of God, it becomes important that we, the rest of us, not sit in our comforts, in our luxuries, in our happy ways of living, but we get down on our feet and we start interceding for one another. That's our obligation. Not one of my previous messages, I mentioned that sin lieth at the door. Therefore, it is important that we ought to be always ready. We got to be always ready for what lays ahead of us. Because tomorrow, that trial could be right at your doorstep. And when the trials come in your life, it is how much you trust in the Lord, how much your faith is in the Lord that will determine if that will become the temptation for you. And that's when we start to stumble, we start to fall. And that's the only time when each one of us that are sitting here can become that support. One person alone can easily fail. But all of us together, it is very difficult to fail. We hold it together. It is difficult for us to confess our sins to one another. It is difficult for us to go talk to someone about a sin or a difficulty that they're going through. But the scripture says, be comfortable with that. Confess your sins to one another. It starts here, our family here. All right. So we've kind of done that high-level overview. We got about 5 minutes or so we'll spend in discussion. So for those that do not know this, the rhythm behind this, we'll have three topics, and you will get approximately a minute and a half to discuss that topic. So if you're sitting in a small aisle, we'll turn around or stand up, whatever you have to do, and form a little group yourself. You can talk to each other. This is when you can talk. This is when you can share. I want everyone to share in that little circle. So, you know, small groups, two chairs at aisles at a time. And then At the end of these three questions, I will ask brothers from each of these groups to share what was discussed. All right? So first question. Going back to James' question, how does the love of money and riches affect our relationship with God? So James is emphasizing a lot about riches. Now the question is, how does the love of money and riches affect my relationship, affect your relationship with God? Go ahead, you got a minute and a half. Ten seconds. All right, question number two. Yeah, this is where you learn how to speak fast, share fast. Don't let one person dominate the conversation. Make sure you step up and say, you got 10 seconds per person, essentially. All right, question number two. How does God use others to build patience in our lives? So we talked about patience and perseverance. We talked about faith throughout the book of James. How does God use others to build patience in our lives? Go ahead. Ten seconds. All right, topic number three, question number three. What hinders believers from confessing sins and praying for each other. We talked about James chapter 5, where it says, confess your sins and pray for one another. It talks about interceding for one another. So now the question that you're going to discuss is, what hinders believers from confessing sins and praying for each other? Go. Ten seconds. All right, let's pause our group discussions. All right, very good. So the rules we have, just reminding everyone again, we can have leaders from each of your circles to go ahead and share. A few extra minutes wouldn't hurt us today. And then make sure you're sharing one or two sentences each. I do not want a 5-minute sermon going on here. I just need one or two sentences that you discuss in your group to share that. Even if it's a short few words, that's perfect. Please do not try to teach. Only share what the group discussed. All right. First question. How does the love of money and riches affect our relationship with God? Let's start with that aisle over there. Group leaders, if you would go ahead and share one or two sentences. How does the love of money and riches affect our relationship with God? Very good. Any other thoughts from this aisle? All right, this aisle, you want to share the same thoughts? Thoughts over here? Priority? Okay. Last style? Okay. Priority. Anyone else?
Money drives and power controls. Both could be very ambiguity situation.
Yeah. Okay. Any other last thoughts on that? Anyone else wanted to share? Simple. Yeah. You pursue money, then you forget God, right? No time for God. Very good. Second question. How does God use others to build patience in our lives? Let's go with the middle group. That's no further comments needed on that one. All right. Can you repeat that again? No, I'll choose not to. Go ahead. Any other thoughts on it? Kids will teach you patience. What else do we have? Yeah. Yeah, I think every person that's brought into our lives will one way or the other teach patience. For some people, wives, for some people, for some people, kids, and the list goes on. Any other thoughts? Husbands too. From this aisle. Anyone from this aisle? No one? Go ahead, David. No. Yes. Yes, brother. Yeah, absolutely. Waiting is something that we will learn very quickly, right? So looking at the entire book of James, right, if you look at chapter 1 that focuses on that faith that you're building, one of that layers is patience. And you need to learn the art of patience in order to become a mature Christian. And that is something that we have, yes. A little laughter and a humor is always good for the soul. All right, third question. What hinders believers from confessing sins and praying for each other? So we talked about the fact that we have to confess our sins to one another, that we have to pray for one another, we have to intercede for one another. The question is, what hinders you and I from confessing sins and praying for each other? We'll start with the middle group. Pride and embarrassment. Distractions. Lack of trust. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very true. This group. Pride and ego.
Jealousy, arrogance.
Jealousy and arrogance.
Not being transparent.
Okay. Fear of gossip. Any other thoughts? Last group, yes. Yeah, so you don't even think that is a sin worth confessing. So it just becomes part of your normal day-to-day life. Okay, it's a very, very unique point. Any other thoughts? Yeah, okay. So doubting the very fact that is confessing and praying even the right thing to do. Okay? Any other thoughts? So a lack of trust, lack of the fact that once I share my sin in all confidentiality, the person who receives it may make it into a gossip. Yeah, true. Any other thoughts on this side? You know God's not going to share that with anyone else. Any other last thoughts on that? So all good points shared, right? How does the love of money and riches affect our relationship with God? We all shared what that looks like. It's very simple. We have one master, and we got to choose who that is. Going back to the chapter and the verse that we talked about, right? If you are a friend of this world, then you're an enemy of God. Simple. The question is, are we ready to accept that? We all know the right thing. Are we ready to accept it? Second, how does God use others to build patience in our lives? Every person that comes in our life, every person that comes across in our lives, whether it's your own family members, whether it's your kids, wives, family members, extended family members, anyone. I think the answer is, we will learn patience. The question is, are you going to be receiving? Are you going to be receptive to that example that is coming before us? The last question, what hinders believers from confessing sins and praying for each other? It's usually what we all talked about, pride, lack of trust, the fact that we'll gossip. We all know that. If I ask you why you would not share your sin, like brother said, we're all putting a mask. We have a second life that's going on here. And we all know it. And we all know the reason I can't go and say it to someone else is because that person might go and say some to someone else. They might take advantage of us. This is what each one of us has to say about everybody else. And everybody else is pointing to the other person and saying, that's what you would do. The reality is, you and I know that if I share something, we don't want others to share it out. That secret stays with you. The only reason they shared it with you is for what? Pray about it. That's what it is. And so if you and I can start somewhere, if we can take that stance somewhere, someone that I think I can trust, pick one person in this church. I've had these kind of conversations on and off with a few other brothers and sisters. Pick one person that you can confide in. I can guarantee you not everybody is going to be a gossiper. Pick one person, one family, that you can trust. One family that you can go to and share your burdens. And let them start praying for you. Slowly, we will build that trust. It takes time. It's not going to be overnight. But that's how we're going to make it work. Pick one family that you can trust and share the burdens that you have. Now, if you come to me and say that, my life is good, you might be a sinner, I'm not believing you. So please, that's the challenge I have for you. As an end for this chapter, the lesson that we need to take back is, money is not the problem. Riches are not the problem. It's whether you misuse it. Where's your heart? If God has blessed you with something, are you using it for His glory? Second, being patient in your trials. We will all have trials in our lives. But are you going to be patient? The last one, interceding for that believer who has wandered away from the fold. The erring believer, the sinning brother or sister. Do you love them enough to go and intercede for them? Do you love them enough to go and pray for them? Do you love them enough to go share that burden and pray about it? We know that the coming of the Lord is near. And James has made it very clear. So what James is telling the entire book, how we connected it all together, is until the coming of the Lord, we should meet the trials and temptation that come in our lives with faith and wisdom. And when we do that, it will result in patience, maturity, and joy. And we will all be ready to receive that crown of life on that day when He comes. May His name be glorified. Can I have Brother Thomas Rajan, can you close in prayer, please?